Hey guys, this is Nathan from Church in a Brewery, and this is our week 6 recap. Last night at Church in a Brewery, we met at Augustino Brewing, and we were talking about pain and suffering. I started making this recap since a lot of people can't make it out to our in-person meeting right now. Maybe it's because of COVID, or maybe you're just not sure what we do at Church in a Brewery and you're curious. Well, this is a good way to find out. So last night we were investigating the question, if God exists, why does he allow pain and suffering? Sometimes people see how much pain there is in the world and they think, well, if there's a God out there, how can he be good because he allows this stuff to happen? So that's what we were taking a look at last night and kind of gave a disclaimer because there's no simple answer. There's some stuff that I feel like is helpful, but honestly, I wanted to be sensitive to people because if you're going through something, I didn't want to come off like it's pouring salt in the wound. So there is no simple answer. It doesn't necessarily make the pain any easier, but I think that if we can uncover a deeper purpose for suffering, and that does help some. This week's discussion was a little more philosophical, and in a couple weeks, we'll actually look at Genesis chapter 3 and examine the story about how pain entered the world. So that'll be really interesting. But last night we kicked things off just talking about examples of pain. We asked the question, what kind of pain do you see in the world? Because people said, wait, pain and suffering? That's kind of a huge question. Are you talking about physical pain, emotional pain? Well, I'm talking about all of it. So we all came up with a list. So here's some examples of pain that we see in the world. There was physical pain, injury, you fall and skin your knee, that hurts. Cancer, death, emotional pain, relationship problems. That stuff can take a serious toll on us. Job loss, if you've ever been fired, it's not much fun. Poverty, other people suffering. We see other people going through hard things and that's hard for us to watch sometimes because we empathize with them. There's stuff like dementia. I just watched my grandma deal with dementia for several years and it was really hard. She didn't recognize people anymore and it was hard for her. It was scary. And it was hard for the family members to see her going through that. So that was painful for her and us. And then there's stuff like disease. So we've got this big list of pain that we see in the world. And when you see this list and you think about these things, you might ask questions like, is life random? Does God not care? Does he not see what's going on? In fact, that is the way a lot of people view God when they see this stuff in the world. I was watching a debate online between Alex Rosenberg and somebody else, I can't remember. Might be William Lane Craig, but this debate took place at Purdue University. Alex Rosenberg is actually a famous philosopher from Duke University, and he's an atheist. So when he looks at the world and he sees all this pain, he thinks that God couldn't possibly exist, and if he did exist, he can't be good. So he looks at the world and thinks it's random. This is a place of chaos. Yeah, I don't really blame him for thinking that because I do think that the world does appear that way. I think there's a deeper purpose, but you have to kind of look pretty hard and really think about it to try to put all the pieces together. So we'll kind of try to walk through that here. But Alex Rosenberg then said this. He said, if I were making a world and I were God, I could make a better world out of dust than God did. Honestly, I don't think he's the first person I've heard say that. And again, I do understand to some extent because sometimes some of the suffering we see in the world seems unnecessary or needless. So through the discussion last night and through the discussion right here on this podcast, let's try to see if we can uncover a deeper purpose for suffering, or at least a little part of it, because I think this is probably going to be a 2 or 3 part discussion. But first, let's see if we can take on Alex Rosenberg's challenge. Let's see if we could make a better world out of dust than God did. So I came up with this exercise that's based on C.S. Lewis's work. It's really interesting. But I asked people to take a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle. So you've got two columns. So you might want to do this right now, or maybe you just want to try to do it in your head or on your phone, and try to list some qualities and characteristics that if you were designing the world, you would want to see in it. For example, I don't know if these are virtues or what you would call them. I just called them qualities or characteristics, but some examples might be love, justice, generosity, courage, things like that. So think about that. What are some things that if you were making a world, you would really want to see in it? I think everybody would probably agree on love. As a group last night, we came up with this list. So here's a few of the other things we talked about. Somebody said hope. Somebody said a caring nature. So we want people to be caring towards each other. We had empathy, honesty, respect, peace, compassion, selflessness, generosity, and virtue. So, a bunch of good stuff, right? So if we created a world with that stuff in it, it seems like that'd be a pretty good place, right? Here's the catch, though. Take a look at that list. These are good things that we really value, right? Well, the problem is these things cannot exist without something bad. Unfortunately, it seems like it actually takes some kind of pain, suffering, disaster, threat, or danger to cause these traits to emerge and exist. So I don't know that these traits, these good things, can actually exist without something bad. And in addition, if these things are going to be our choice, if we're going to have free will to choose how we respond to these things, then we have to actually be free to choose the opposite of the good things, right? So, for example, if love is going to be real, if it's going to be genuine and it's going to be a choice, then we also have to have the choice to choose not to love. As a group last night, we went through some of these traits and we tried to figure out what is required for this good trait to exist. Again, a lot of this conversation comes from the work of C.S. Lewis, and we just tried to analyze it last night. So, courage, for example. What's required for courage to exist? That's the problem, I think. I don't think courage can exist without danger or some kind of risk or fear. Something bad, something scary has to exist in order for courage to emerge. Otherwise, there's no need for courage. So if we want courage in the world, and I think we do, I think we all hope that we'd be courageous, we actually need something bad to bring courage out in us. So that's the question to ask. Can you be courageous? Can courage exist if there is no danger or threat? Then we have to have the freedom to choose to be courageous or to run away. So if we're truly going to be free-thinking people and free to make our own decisions and not just be robots, then we have to have the freedom to not be courageous. Next, we talked about generosity. Well, this is a really tough one. So if we're going to have a world where generosity exists, then we ask the question, well, what does that require? Some people said poverty. Some people said people who don't have enough. There's got to be some kind of need. Otherwise, there's no situation that would prompt us to learn to be generous. That's a real bummer because that means this world has to actually have people who don't have enough in it. And we don't really want people to be poor. We want everybody to have enough, right? But if everybody has enough, there's no opportunity to learn to care for others and be generous. So this equation very quickly is getting very complicated. If we then throw free will into the equation, and we're God and we're trying to make free-thinking people who have choice and they're not just robots, then when these situations emerge where somebody has a need, we must have the freedom to choose to be generous or to not give to that need. Otherwise, that choice doesn't mean as much. It's not our choice. We're just, again, programmed robots. So if we wanted to teach people to be generous, then we unfortunately have to put poverty or some kind of need into this world. Somebody's got to not have enough. Selflessness was the next thing we talked about. Self-sacrifice. Well, that's tough because that requires that we give up something. And if it's really going to be selflessness, then we have to give up something that we actually wanted to keep or something that was valuable. And again, if we're going to be free human beings and have free will, then we also have to have the freedom to choose to be selfish. Well, that stinks, because now we're stuck in a world where there's actually selflessness, which is good, but also selfishness. We're stuck putting that in the world. What about empathy? Empathy, I mean, I think that's something that we all value. Unfortunately, that requires suffering. How do we enter into somebody else's suffering and learn to show empathy if nobody's suffering? In that case, empathy wouldn't be able to exist. Understanding. I mean, my hope is that we can learn to understand each other and be in a room full of people with totally different opinions. And that's something I really appreciated about our group so far, is that there's people in the group that have different views. And I like that. That's why I made this group. And understanding of each other is something that I really value. Well, if we're going to have understanding in the world, then we also have to allow for difference of opinion. I think, unfortunately, what we're seeing right now in the world is people have the choice to try to be understanding of each other and to not understand each other at all and disagree and maybe push back against each other in very, maybe angry ways or unhealthy ways. And so if we're going to let people be free and give them free choice, we have to give them the freedom to respond to these differences of opinion with either understanding or lack of understanding, maybe even divisiveness, which isn't good. The alternative is we take away their free choice and we just make them respond in a good way. Honestly, a lot of us in the group, I mean, if we were God, we would be tempted to do that occasionally, like make people do the right thing, make people love each other and stuff like that. It'd be really hard not to, and you almost think, well, maybe the world would be better if we're just robots. But then we would forfeit the things that make us special. I mean, if love isn't a choice and it's forced, the question then is it really love? Does love require the ability to choose? I jokingly told this story about, I was recently talking with my college roommate, and I said, would you want a perfect wife that was always nice to you and like did everything you asked and she was perfect? The only downside is she's a robot. Honestly, that'd be tempting sometimes because perfect relationship, but I mean, it's not real. That robot doesn't really love you. They're not self-aware. And so I think God was trying to make people who would be able to choose to love, because that's much more meaningful. I don't know that love is really that valuable if it's just programmed into us and we have no choice. But I'll leave that up to you to debate. It's a fascinating conversation. So we concluded that if we want to live in a world that has love, and love is a free choice, we want to live in a world with generosity and empathy and understanding and courage and those things. Unfortunately, this is the world that God had to make in order to bring these things that we want into existence and then be our choice. So that's very interesting because it means a lot of things. One, I think this means that not all bad things are judgment or punishment against us. Some people think that every time a natural disaster happens or maybe you get sick and die, I mean, it's a punishment, like God's angry. But I think this shows that there's actually another purpose to pain and suffering that might actually be good in the long run. It's terrible right now, but in the long run, it might serve a good purpose and it might mean something really powerful. And might this also be evidence that maybe this world was meticulously thought out and planned? So I understand some people see this and they think pain and suffering is evidence that God doesn't exist. But I think there's a scenario where these things are actually evidence that this is a complicated system designed by God. It's some kind of equation. Maybe that's a weird way to look at it. I don't know. If you want to see our discussion questions, you can go to breweryministries.org/session6. And again, in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about Genesis chapter 3. We're going to pick up this conversation there, talk about the Garden of Eden. Very, very interesting discussion. So I'm really looking forward to talking about it with you guys. We'll be meeting at Augustino Brewing. It's church in a brewery. We meet every Monday night at 7:30 p.m. We still have plenty of room to spread out, plenty of tables. So if you want to stop by and you're concerned about COVID, it's not too crowded right now. But if you want to kind of stay at home and just check out the podcast until things die down, that's cool too. I just want to leave you with this last scripture that I think is really comforting for people who are in a lot of pain and who are actually going through the suffering right now. It is Psalm 34:18. And it says this, it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." I'll be honest, like for the past few years, I've gone through some pretty heavy stuff and it's been hard. I think this conversation about why suffering exists has been really helpful for me when I'm trying to make sense out of it, but so has the scripture and many others, because I just like the idea that like God is right there next to us when we're feeling brokenhearted and we just feel crushed. So I hope that's helpful for you. If you want to reach out, you can find us on Facebook. Look up Brewery Ministries, or you can go to breweryministries.org and there's a little form, a contact thing. Or if you want to send us an email, you can do it that way. Hopefully I'll see you guys soon. And I'm going to leave you with this crazy outro song I found. It's called Space Bicycle. See you guys.